Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Rob and Walter Show, part of Red Sky Radio. We got so much to share today. Got to get going. We got good news. We got rough news. We end with good news. First of all, I just want to say, if you want to write me with a comment, criticism, constructive or otherwise, I don't really care. I look at them all. RobinWalterShow@gmail.com. RobinWalterShow@gmail.com. Or you can still use the old email address, which I still do use, info@redskyradio.net. Today's program is going to be about something that Jesus talked a lot about. In fact, he talked more about it than anything else, and that was hypocrisy. But as you know, the purpose of this program is to apply Scripture to modern-day issues, problems, and situations. And we are going to see the hypocrisy at the highest levels, particularly, not exclusively, of one of the political parties in this country. So what would I name this program? Well, probably, I don't know, the hypocrisy of the left or something along that line, because that's what we're going to be talking about mostly. If we have some other time, I got a bunch of things to get to, but I want to start with some good news, but it's cautionary good news. And it has to do with Governor Ron DeSantis. I love everything this guy's doing. I have not found a thing I disagree with Ron DeSantis. It's why so many people are moving to Florida, even Nancy Pelosi buying a $25 million home in Florida because she can't stand what she created in San Francisco and California, and so now she wants to get out of the stench that she helped deposit. So DeSantis is calling for the resurrection of the Florida State Guard. This is a state equivalent to the National Guard, which states have the authority to create their own militias. People wonder, oh, they can't do that. Well, of course they can. That is the heart and soul of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment references militias and an able-bodied people, presumably able-bodied that can handle a weapon. They have that right to keep and bear arms for themselves, but also for the purposes of the militia. So DeSantis is clearly within his right to do this. So why am I cautious about this? Well, I'm only cautious because as good of a governor as he is, once this is established, I'm concerned about a subsequent Democrat governor who will then take something established with good motives, good intent, but it will become a horrific precedent, and it will be used to the disadvantage of Christians, specifically conservatives generally, and anybody else that a left-wing government disagrees with. Now, I got to go back a few years, because when I read this, the thought that popped up in my head, and I don't know that's entirely analogous, but it reminded me of the day. I remember the day. I remember the room I was standing in when I heard it. I remember exactly where I was standing in the room and where my wife was standing in the room watching a TV where George Bush came on and announced the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. My wife will testify that on that day, it was all I could do to break down into weeping, could keep from breaking down into weeping when he announced the Department of Homeland Security. Because in a flash, this has not happened much in the decades of serving the Lord, but it's happened a few times. I got an instantaneous prophetic flash of what would happen. I told my wife on that very spot that as much as he intends this to be for good, the Department of Homeland Security will come back to haunt us. And of course it did in relatively short time under, Janet Incompetano, Napolitano, I mean, who started to just simply hunt down veterans, anybody who is conservative as the real domestic terrorists. Goodness sakes, I can't believe Arizona ever elected her as governor. What a loser. But on that day, I had to fight back the tears because I had this instant prophetic look into the future that it would be used against us, and being from God, that prophetic vision was exactly correct. And I've shared that on several occasions before, which leads to another point, a biblical point of application to every government that has ever been and ever will. We have to remember that what is involved, you know, we want good law. I won't disagree with that. We want good and proper laws. But we have to remember that ultimately the laws in place are less important than the people that are in place. And I'll give you proof, but an insight. First of all, George Washington said that the key here to the success of this country would be that men would need to be bound down by the chains of the Constitution. Now, he meant well, he intended well, and that was a good attempt, and it's the best that man can do. It really is. Until Jesus returns, the best that man can do is tie the evil that is in this world down by law. But understand that when you have immoral, ungodly people in authority, the law will not matter. Proof of that fact? Who had a better civil law for the operation of government than the nation of Israel? Israel got a hand-delivered instruction from God how to function as individuals, as a society, as a people. Hand-delivered. God gave it to Moses in a couple of occasions. First of all, obviously in the Ten Commandments, but subsequently with the other things that God gave to Moses about how to do this and how to do that. There was no country in the world, we're second only to Israel, of a country that was ordained upon the instruction of biblical example and a directive, not example, but biblical directive how to operate. And guess what? Well, Israel went on to actually be more heathen than the heathen because they had bad people in charge who perverted the law, subverted the law, ignored the law, fist in the face, middle finger to God practically. Their defiance exceeded their ignorance. The rebellion exceeded their defiance. And Scripture says they were worse, they became worse than the heathen nations that God drove out of Israel to be able to, for Israel to occupy what became Israel, for the Jews. You see, what we have today, and this is what we're going to lead into, is an issue of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in politics, and I'm not saying hypocrisy is impossible on the right, by no means. But hypocrisy is the defining characteristic of the left. Hey, you know what? That's the name of this program. Hypocrisy is the defining characteristic of the left. And I used to think that you could not be both evil and stupid. Well, you can be. But evil and hypocrisy combined, which is what Israel had become, and it is what we have in the leadership of the United States, is actually worse than just evil. You see, the heathens were the heathens But they weren't necessarily hypocritical. They didn't pretend to be godly. They weren't pretending to be righteous. The heathen people do what heathens do. They sin. And they do it really, really well. But they don't make any false pretense of it being necessarily a godly thing, a good thing, or like the anti-life people say, the pro-aborts, the anti-life. Use anti-life in the future for the pro-aborts. It's more of a stigma. Who think that abortion is actually a righteous act. This is how Israel became worse than the heathen nations, the same as we are worse than a whole bunch of countries which have never had any pervasive influence of the gospel. It's because we are evil and our leadership is hypocritical. There's no group of people Jesus was tougher on than the hypocrites. More on that later, because I got to keep moving along here. Now, I have to confess, there have been many occasions that I have wanted to bring in other stories that I think would be helpful to our listeners. They wouldn't necessarily be in the normal realm of Robin Walter's show and Red Sky Radio as far as speaking to how to address the evils and the biblical examples and biblical solutions to those evils. But they're matters of great importance to some people. And only because I have gotten a couple of inquiries lately, one of them just yesterday, from a party in Iowa, that asked me a question that is troubling a lot of people these days, and that is, especially the older listeners on this program, what do I do and what is the right thing biblically to do when I have an inheritance that I need to leave of however amount, some of which is going to unbelieving children, but the bigger question being left-wing children or left-wing beneficiaries, and they're my children. What does the Bible say about that? Actually, I have actually preached on it. I've done a presentation on that before, not for a long time. I don't really plan to, but it's an important question. So here's what I'm going to do. If three people write to me either info@redskyradio.net or robinwaltershow@gmail.com and ask me to do that, I will include it in a program. It's only about, I can condense it down to about 6 or 7 minutes. And you will be armed and informed as to how to deal and handle that situation in the future. Now, I think maybe the bigger question is, why is this even coming up? Well, the reason it's coming up is because we have never had division in this country like we have now since probably the Civil War. And I really mean that. The country is divided. States are divided. Cities are divided. Communities are divided. Churches are divided. Families are divided. There are people who don't want to go to Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner because they're going to run into their conservative kinfolk. And statistics are extremely clear about the fact that the left has a much more difficult time being nice, civil, and kind to conservative relatives than vice versa. And maybe it's because the left, they know that all they got in this life is this life, and that's it. Not all conservatives are Christians, but those of us who are know that this isn't it. This isn't the end of the game. We got something better waiting for us, a whole lot better, and it makes it a little bit more, we're a little more capable of handling the disappointments in this life, and particularly obnoxious, if not evil, relatives. So let me know. Three of you do it. It's the hidden rat theory. Not that you are rats, but they say if you see one rat, I had a guy tell me this once when I was looking at some income property. Saw a rat. He saw it's a hidden rat deal. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you see one rat, you have at least 100. So in a screwy analogy to that, I'm going to say and guess that if there are three people who would like a 7-minute course on biblical inheritance because you have left-wing relatives, that probably means there's about 300 or so who really would like to hear it but just don't write. I get it. All right, let me know. info@redskyradio.net, robinwaltershow@gmail.com. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about the typical Democrat. Don't go away.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Over in the glory.
We're back. This is Robin Walter with Robin Walter's Show. Okay, starting on the typical Democrat. Well, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to try to succinctly and quickly go through a few pieces that reveal the fact that hypocrisy is the defining characteristic of the left. The left, which, like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hypocritical as can be, maintain that they actually hold the moral high ground. They think they are actually the righteous ones. And in that sense are both not just evil, but hypocritically evil. And they would then actually be the greatest scourge of, I would suppose, Jesus, if he were walking on the earth today. Tough language? Well, it's a tough truth, is it not? But I want to start with a kind of an odd way of starting. I don't cover things that I don't have a biblical application for. I try not to, anyway. I shouldn't say I never do that. But I want to start with this Jussie Smollett case, which I really don't give much of a rip about. This is the black guy who's also queer who faked the hate crime. And he's got all of Hollywood backing him, and everybody's trying to spring him. And Michelle Obama's top aide went to bat for him because they think that this is a hate-filled prosecution of his faking a hate crime because he committed felonies in the falsification of these reports. He's found guilty. Now, I want to just point out some hypocrisy from the left. Now, this happens to be from a couple of black organizations because he's black, but the hypocrisy, which I'll show you, is as much, if not much greater, from the white leftist elitist group, which we'll get to in a minute. But the NAACP, go back a couple of years ago, accused Donald Trump of being the real cause of the hate crime against Jussie Smollett. You see, they just assumed Jussie was telling the truth. And he was not. He was lying. Al Sharpton said in 2019, he said in reference to the alleged hate crime against Jussie Smollett, he said, quote, "The guilty must face the maximum penalty," end quote. Well, Al, baby, I'd like to ask you, since the guilty turns out to be Jussie himself, I suppose what you're saying, Al, is that he then, being guilty, must face the maximum penalty for faking a hate crime. Does he think that way? No, of course not, because he's a hypocrite. He's a typical Democrat. That's the defining characteristic. Well, There is really a whole lot of ways I could go about this, but I want to just bring in one other real quick thing, and that deals with Barack Hussein Obama. There are three occasions, and I'm not going to go into them, where he jumped the gun and made an accusation about something being racial, white against black, and every case he was proven wrong. When he was proven wrong, guess what? The left-wing media just shut up because they were just using him as a pawn. That's right. Obama was used as a pawn sometimes by the white media. So you're wondering, why do I bring these things up in the context of hypocrisy? Because that's exactly what it is. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, I could talk about hate crimes here, but that's not really the issue because there weren't any. I mean, let me ask you, you know, why are there so many fake hate crimes? This is a bit of a digression. I don't care whether it's black, Hispanic, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ complaints, Islamophobia, blah, blah, blah. Why do you think there are so many fake hate crimes? I got to tell you, I could do a one-hour program because I got a stack of all the fake hate crimes. I will tell you why there's so many fake hate crimes. Because there aren't enough real hate crimes in reality to keep the left-wing narrative alive. Look, if there were all these real ones, they wouldn't have to have all the fake ones. If there is truth to what they're saying, they wouldn't have to lie. I got a stack. I don't want to waste your time because you get the point. But you see, Jussie Smollett, and I'm spending too much time on this loser, but you see, there isn't any question but what he faked the hate crime. The only question is there enough evidence to convict him of faking the hate crime? Okay, OJ didn't get convicted of his murder, but we all know he killed Nicole, what, Brown, whatever. I can't even remember her name now. We all know he killed her. Everybody knows. In fact, he lost and conceded in the civil lawsuit. There just wasn't enough to convict him of murder, but we all know he did it. Jussie Smollett committed a fake hate crime. The only question is whether there is enough evidence to do it. For them to say he's actually innocent is such a far stretch from the truth. But back to why do I bring this up? I bring it up because, first of all these accusations that people make violate a scripture. And you might want to write this down. Proverbs 18:17. Do you remember a few years ago when Kavanaugh was being assaulted? And assault was the right word. Defamed was the right word. Mentally molested by the left, bringing out one accusation another. And then you got, what's her name? I can't even think of her name now. I don't want to. I tried to forget her, and I did. I succeeded. And what did every Democrat say? From Kamala Harris to Chuck E. Cheese Schumer to Hillary Clintonian? Well, they said women deserve to be believed against Kavanaugh. The women deserve to be believed. I have two comments. One real quickly. No. Number one, no. Women don't deserve to be believed by virtue of their gender. I mean, that would mean we should always have believed Jezebel, Athaliah, Hillary Clinton. How about her? Ilhan Omar. Can we just go right on down the line to to all of the squad, for that matter? Nancy Pelosi. I cut her some slack because she has no brains. But no, you don't get a pass just because you're a woman doesn't mean you deserve to be believed. I mean, how does this play out? Well, look at Rittenhouse. Look at Kavanaugh. Look at Donald Trump. The accusations that were all made unproven violates Proverbs 18, verse 17, which says, which is the sum of this, the first one who pleads his case seemeth right until his neighbor comes and examines him. In law, we call that cross-examination. On direct examination, the plaintiff will state their case, and the jury, if they voted at that point, would vote unanimously in favor of the plaintiff. Until the defendant's attorney comes up and cross-examines a person. Now, did you really say this, and did you really see this, and what happened on this occasion? And actually, back 2 years ago, weren't you found out to have falsified an insurance claim in your house, which has nothing to do with the case, but you're trying to impugn the person's integrity? You see, the left does this all the time, makes the accusations without proof, violating scripture, and yet are hypocrites when it comes to the point of anyone of their own actually being convicted for the very thing which they've been charged, and all of a sudden they go silent. Hollywood won't say jack about Smollett, other than they want to fund his appeal. Would they fund an appeal for a conservative? Would they fund an appeal for Kyle Rittenhouse? Of course not. They're hypocrites. So, I guess I beat that to death. Other than to say, the left was fine with an unsubstantiated single-person allegation against Kavanaugh, but they stood behind Cuomo until woman number, 16 or 17 came out. Then they finally had to throw in the towel and eat dirt. That is hypocrisy. Okay. I want to throw out one other real quick thing here. I'm going to jump over to the COVID thing. I don't have much to say about it today, other than the fact that they're now stating, Fauci says he never said that there wouldn't be a need for another booster, for a booster. That's his defense for having a third booster. And Pfizer has now come out and said that there probably will be a need for a fourth booster. And guess what? If one was supposed to do it and two was supposed to certify that you were in good shape, but now you need three and probably four, there'll be five, six, and seven. And every single booster shot means you have another chance to die from the shot, as tens of thousands have already. Maybe it doesn't happen the first time around. But if you want to give yourself many more chances to croak for unnatural causes, this just may be your chance. Well, okay. The Democrats, the hypocrites. Rashid Tlaib. Okay, so what did she come out and say? Here's your typical Democrat and the hypocrisy. She said, I worked really hard getting my law degree, blah, blah, blah. I need help. In fact, the taxpayers should take over the payment of my remaining student loan debt of $70,000, which is mostly interest. Okay. Rashid makes $14,500 a month. That's $174,000 a year. She's 45 years old. She's earned almost $750,000 with her head in a trough working for the government. And she still hasn't paid off her loans. She said, well, I took $200,000 to go to school. And she's now going to rely on you and I and others to help her out with her debt. Hypocrisy. Kate Brown, Democrat, governor of Oregon. When I don't like what Oregon's doing, I say Oregon. If I like what they're doing, I say Oregon. Just to let you know. That state... What a screwed up state they in Washington are. But she's looking at a permanent, no more of this dinking around with, oh, the masks will be required until, February 15th. And then they extend it to April 1st. And then they extend. No, they're just looking at making them permanent. Except that while she is happily at an LGBTQRSDUVWXYZ Victory Hall fundraiser, Victory Hall of Fame, what does that look like? The Queer Hall of Fame. Not any place I plan to take or lead a class of students on a field trip, but she was a featured guest. And guess what? The hypocritical left-wing bag woman from Oregon wasn't wearing a mask. Oh, those masks, those stupid, foolish little masks are for you little people. For you little people, not for us elitists in government. It's for you little, it's permanent for you little people. But we, as the chief scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees in the state of Oregon, we don't have to wear them. Let's jump over to Joe, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. Now, just keep in mind, all these stories about typical Democrat hypocrisy are from this week. Just 1 week. I don't need to collect stories about this kind of stuff over years to do a story. Just a few days in the news, and I got it. So the hypocrisy here, who talks more about transparency than the Democrats? Who couldn't possibly be more opaque in their Sadducee, Pharisaical, whatever, boasting and pomposity, I guess would be the word, activity and behavior than the Democrats? They want transparency. But Joe sent individuals into various media outlets this last week to tell them that they need to put a different spin on the horrible economic news. In other words, they need to spin the economic news in a more positive manner. Joe was saying, forget the transparency. You know, this reminds me of, it actually reminds me of, if I don't know if you recall this, but about four years ago, Obama called in a whole bunch of media people in a private meeting. Juan Williams, at that time, if he were any farther left, he'd be lying on the ground on his left side. He doesn't lean left. He's lying on the ground on his left side. He was called in. He was part of the private little so-called fourth branch of government, the media that's supposed to be truthful and transparent, to tell them, apparently, how they're supposed to be spinning a story. And why do we know that? Because when Juan got back on the air on Fox News, everybody asked him, well, what did the president talk about? And he said, I can't talk about it. So Juan swore himself to secrecy to the president so he could carry out some left-wing initiative, which was the absolute hypocritical example of the transparency that the yin-yang left always, always is talking about. Well, I was going to skip this next story. No, I don't know. Vaccines for the private sector workers. You know, I'm so sick of New York City and Bill de Blasio. You know, I will go to New York if God tells me to go to New York to give a talk or a speak. Otherwise, I don't have any intention of seeing the Big Apple because it's just a big rotten apple. Why would I want to go there? But he comes out and says, we've decided to use a preemptive strike to really do something bold to stop the future growth of COVID and the dangers it's causing to all of us. Now, the hypocrisy here is that New York has been at the very center of actually spreading it through. You know what? I don't even want to go farther into this, that story. Let me come back to one other thing. The problem is I've got hours and hours that I could do on this topic, and I want to get on to something else. But Washington, D.C. now, the crime is so out of this. I want to touch on this briefly. Crime is rampant. Crime is over the top. Crime is outrageous. And it is actually occurring at all levels in all places, but much, much greater in the inner cities. Isn't any question about it. Washington, D.C. now is offering tips because carjackings are way up. Do you know the murders are up something like 36% in 1 year since Biden? That's what I call him. Oh, Biden took over? Because he gave fuel, fire, and legitimacy to lawlessness by using everything that was going on from Operation Wall Street, going back a few years to BLM, Antifa, all the stuff that they wouldn't quell, just let Kenosha burn. They somehow thought it could bury Trump in the election and it probably worked, but they unleashed the devil. They were using the devil and the devil's tactics for their own personal political gain. That's why there is this incredible, unbelievable wave of lawlessness, which, I might add, is what the scriptures make very clear was the prominent characteristic of the society that moved God to destroy the world with the flood. Lawlessness. And the Antichrist is called the Lawless One. And that's why the Democrats are little Antichrists. So the D.C. authorities are saying it's so bad that we're going to give you tips on carjacking. First of all, drive in the middle lane. It makes it harder for them to run out in traffic and steal your car. You know what? Forget D.C. Just get out of there. I don't care how many cars are carjacked in that town because they're all Democrat. Let them steal each other's cars. I guess I'll care when it affects my insurance rates. They want to do that to each other. That is their problem. They created it. You, like we used to say, you grew it, you chew it. All right, that's kind of where I am. But they say, just drive in the center lane to make it harder for potential carjackers to approach the car. And if they do come, don't try to protect your property. I mean, this is giving license to lawlessness. Don't defend yourself. Quote, this is their quote, in all caps, give up your car. Why? Why not pull out a gun and put it to that sucker's head? I'm not saying you got to fire it. Why can't you use, you can, to retain your property? Maybe if we had some law and order, we wouldn't have such disorder. If we had law and order, we wouldn't have so much lawlessness and disorder. 2021, folks, 28 cops were killed. Just killed? No. Killed only solely by ambush. The attacks against the police by ambush. This doesn't include all the other cases where that, you know, an officer responds as frequently to the case, to a domestic case, as has happened. What, three officers, what, this last week have been killed in domestic matters where one of the parties in the domestic matters just felt free enough to kill the officer? Those aren't the ambush ones. That's just the extent and the degree of lawlessness that runs over this country. And yet the Democrats talk about what Kate Brown, we're talking about, or was a mayor of Portland or something, who said that with Portland burning, it was just a season of peace, and these were peaceful protests. What hypocrisy for them to talk about law and order and then actually fuel, feed, and spark and inflame violence at all levels for their political gain. And the extent and the degree of lying by the left to facilitate that hypocrisy. I mean, you know what? Alec Baldwin's case is actually a good example. So why do the people on the left come up with such incredibly ridiculous lies to exonerate themselves? Well, it's because they think they can get away with it. And why do you think you can get away with it? Because you're a hypocrite. You say one thing and do another. Alec Baldwin. I hope he gets hung out to dry for the person he killed, shot and killed on the movie scene. His quote, Baldwin, no, 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 no. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull the trigger. That was an answer to a question from George Stephanopoulos. He said, no, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger. He said, no, I would never point a gun at anyone and pull the trigger. Never. I guess all this proves is that you don't have to be smart to be rich. This is a guy who is clueless about... I'd like to go into a detailed explanation of what a double-action gun and a single-action gun is. I would really love to, because I know that stuff. But if you've watched some old Westerns, they have what was called a double action gun. I'm backing up. I'm getting confused. They have a single action gun. It's where you have to perform two actions to get one result. In other words, you have to cock the hammer and then you have to pull the trigger. They did not have double action guns back then. And a double action gun is actually something that you can do with one action, meaning two actions on the gun are performed. The hammer comes back, and then the hammer moves forward and hits the pin and fires by pulling just the trigger. Pulling the trigger performs two actions in a double action gun. In a single action gun, you have to actually manually perform two functions. Now that I've told you, totally messed you up on that, the fact of the matter is, these old guns were double action guns. I'm back to the thing, single action guns. You have to perform two functions. You have to pull the hammer back, and then you have to pull the trigger. Number one, you can't kill anybody without pointing it at them. So the fact that he said, I would never point a gun at anyone. Who grabbed the gun from you, Alec? Who made you point it at somebody if you didn't point it? And if you didn't pull the trigger, who did pull the trigger? Nobody else had their hands on this gun. And to show you how ridiculously stupid he is, he possibly could do this by holding the trigger in and then fanning the hammer like they did in the old Westerns. But that'd have to be intentional. You don't do that accidentally. You don't sit there and fan the hammer like they do in the old Westerns accidentally. So you ask, where's the hypocrisy? The hypocrisy is this. There's virtually no bigger, more loudmouth, Hollywood actor or actress that's more against guns and more despises the Second Amendment than this guy who makes millions of dollars using guns, whether it's you know, on the screen killing people or now apparently in real life killing people. This is your number one gun hater who's out there killing people in real life and killing people on the screen making millions while he's at it. He is so ignorant and yet professes to know what he's doing. There's really only three rules about a gun you have to remember. And who, well, you know what? I got to add another hypocritical moment from a left-winger. Binger, the prosecutor in the Rittenhouse trial. This guy is such a ridiculous hypocrite. And I was glad to hear Kyle Rittenhouse wants to go to law school so he can help get rid of George Soros-funded prosecutors. Go get him, Kyle. So Binger in the trial, and he is a left wing. Binger is a left winger who in the course of the trial had no zingers. He didn't. He got embarrassed. So there's basically three rules in the operation of a firearm that are this critical safety rules. Number one, if your gun has a safety, you use it. If the gun doesn't have a safety, then obviously you don't have one to use. But if you use a safety, and guess what? Until you are ready to shoot the gun, then you take the safety off. Now, what gun, the exact gun that Rittenhouse was using, I don't know. I don't know if it had a safety, but that's actually the lesser of the three main points. The other two points are the most important. Number one, you never, ever, 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 to quote my four-year-old grandson, because he uses about 10 nevers and 10 evers, you never, ever point a gun at anyone unless you are prepared to shoot them. For obvious reasons. And the other one is you never, ever, 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 ever put your finger on the trigger unless you're ready to pull the trigger. So what does Binger do? Binger gets out an AR-15 of some make and model in the trial, and to make a big point, he points the gun at the jury. Look at the photo. He's got his finger on the trigger with a gun pointing at the jury. Even the photos of Kyle Rittenhouse, he didn't have his finger on the trigger unless he was ready to shoot. Binger, you're a hypocritical left-wing piece of garbage.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
We're back. This is Robin Walter, the Robin Walter Show. I have to tack on something to what I was saying before the break. And that is, okay, obviously Binger is a hypocrite. He is an anti-gun left-wing prosecutor who's also not very smart. We know that much. But incredibly, in the Rittenhouse trial, in an attempt to show how much he knows about guns, he famously showed just how much he doesn't know. And I'm glad that the sheriff over in the Alec Baldwin matter, he concluded, he just said, hey, guns don't just go off, so whatever needs to happen to manipulate the firearm, he, meaning Baldwin, did that, and it was in his hands, end quote. But the left can't handle that. You see, the left has to have an excuse for absolutely everything. They can never, ever possibly be wrong. They never admit they're wrong. And in always finding an excuse, they prove the hypocritical nature. That is the common thread in the stories that I've covered here today, is that they are evil, and they're worse than just evil. It's a hypocrisy that envelops their evil. It is the left's defining characteristic, is that they're hypocrites. Anything else, and they'd have to confess their errors and their sins. And of course, that would bring them too close to getting saved, which is not an option at their, apparently, this point in their life, though I would hope it would be. Okay, on to a couple of other things here I want to wrap up here with today. California has a new educational guidelines, and the guidelines say that math is racist. I'm not kidding you. It says here, quoting, it says, there's a huge problem with math instruction right now. The way things are set up, it's not giving everybody a chance to learn math at the highest levels. But because of these inequities, that's what they said, teachers need to work consciously to counter racialized or gendered ideas about mathematics achievement. Well, first of all, maybe the teachers aren't very good at teaching math, but is this not typically a left-wing tactic? We make somebody else the cause of our problem. We make somebody else responsible for our personal failures. We can't teach some of these kids. Well, look, you strip morals out of the classroom. Why should the kids bother about learning math if that's the case? They go on to say that as regards the claim that avoiding aspects of race, culture, gender, or other characteristics as they teach mathematics is actually equitable, the guidelines state that the evolution of mathematics in educational settings has resulted in dramatic inequities for students of color, girls, and students from low-income homes. You know, this is interesting because sometimes I can't make this stuff up. If I were a writer, a fiction writer, I couldn't make this stuff up. And when I read it, have you ever been so bothered that, come on, admit it, inside you just want to swear? Sometimes that happens to me, I'll admit it. Sometimes I just want to cuss. this thing just makes me so angry. But I got to give that up and give that over. So if the evolution of mathematics, as they're quoting them again, in educational settings has resulted in dramatic inequities for students of color, girls, and students from low-income homes, then how do you describe the success of Ben Carson or Michael Massey or a whole bunch of others who are black? They're not girl. I could pull out girls here too, but came from low-income families of color using the California guidelines here. All of these, and I could list a long list, but all of these people who could dance around these left-wing troglodytes because of their mental superiority, not the least of which includes mathematics. They said, the reason we believe that this is inequitable is because the instruction heretofore received by those students doesn't, quote, appropriately leverage students' diverse knowledge bases, identities, and experiences for both learning and developing a sense of belonging to mathematics. I want to tell you, that's the biggest hot pile of hooey, also known as crapola, on this country that I have ever heard. Tell me what the heck that means. Other than they are trying to make an excuse, which means hypocrisy, turning it away from their own responsibility and blaming it on something so they could say they're teaching math and not really be teaching it. And so you can get to where Oregon is doing, and that is eliminating all proficiency tests in math and writing and reading to graduate. Why? What? To make the teachers feel better? To make the left wing feel better? Or to make these new batch of dumb students even more dependent upon Democrats for their livelihood? Tell me, what does this mean? Want to appropriately leverage students' diverse knowledge bases, identities, and experiences for both learning and developing a sense of belonging to mathematics. This pile of crap means if you were to try to parse this, would mean that they would need to be tutored, which is not a bad idea, because every student has a different, a diverse knowledge base, a diverse identity, diverse experience for learning, developing a sense of belonging to math. That would require a different teacher for every student because every student is different. Gosh, I finally come to the conclusion that most Democrats have a degree, college degree, and if they're teaching. But it's not a Bachelor of Science, but it is BS. They got a BS in political science is about all they have. They always have an excuse for their failures. But it is paying bad, bad fruit. It really is. Because you look at the effect of CRT. So the other day we have 15 kids, who beat the tar out of a white Chicago bus driver who's just simply working on his bus, trying to fix the bus. And 15 kids, youths as described, you can guess the race, beat the tar out of him. This after Vincent Pinckney, you know, some young thug fatally stabs multiple people in New York City the other day. He's a young guy. Sadly, the picture that I saw here the other day, this is no Photoshop, with 9 young black kids walking down the street with T-shirts that said, kill all white people. Now, I've been looking for some tangible evidence of the impact of CRT, and this is it. If you teach that one race is always the oppressed, the other race is always the oppressor, one race is always the victim, the other race is always the perpetrator. If you tell that enough and often enough, then every single act, and action by anyone at any time can be justified. What this does is it convinces me is that critical race theory in some form or another has been in our schools longer than we think, because we are seeing the brutal, arbitrary, capricious, spontaneous violence that is incredible It's all over the place. Not, and it's not just from CRT. I could go deeper. Some of it's video games, what have you, because there's a whole bunch of death threats coming by white kids in schools in Michigan, blowing up the schools. What do they got? Something like 17 threats to blow up the schools and shoot people, mostly coming from schools in the Lake Orion area, which are predominantly white. But the fact is, if you teach oppression and oppressor, victim and perpetrator, for everything is the answer and the excuse, then everything in the world, any act and every act, can arbitrarily, capriciously be justified. And we are then launched into the end times because we are in the spot where it's just like it was before the flood. We're a time of violence characterizing the world. Is there good news? Yes, all this can mean is that we're getting very close to Jesus' return. Is that enough just to be happy? Not happy, but joyful. Happy's present moment. Joy is an eternal thing. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have something to look forward to. Sit tall in the saddle for all the rest of you. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.